And we are now joined with the star of the new ESPN morning show. And meet the old boss, same as the new boss, Keyshawn Johnson, joining us from New York. Key, good to talk to you, man. How you holding up?
What up, Johnny I? How you doing?
I'm okay. I don't know what I think of today's news. I'm curious what you think of it. Big Ten and Pac-12 shut it down. In your mind, are they doing the right thing?
Oh, I thought you were about to tell me the Lakers got bounced out the playoffs in the first round already or something.
Not yet. Not yet. I picked them to win the whole thing, Key. I gotta ride them for 2 months.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy. I'm happy that they made a decision to shut it down. I think that they was forced in this position a couple ways. I think they were forced with the pandemic, obviously. But I also think that the players and the athletes in the Pac-12 standing up a couple weeks ago and saying enough's enough also put a nice dagger in the Pac-12 conference for this year till they get their stuff right on how they want to handle the kids and how they want to go about trying to figure out how to make it right. They didn't have any answers to it, so the easy cop-out to me was, let's go ahead and shut this down because we have the pandemic, we have the virus, which is a plus to shut it down, and we can hide behind that, and we don't have to address the players and their issues about the unrest, the injust, the payments, and all the other things that was raised in our meeting. But that's just me. Maybe I'm so far off base that I'm crazy.
No, you know what's interesting? It was, I feel like we stopped having the conversation about NCAA athletes and compensation and paying the players. Like, that whole discussion kind of went away when the pandemic hit. Because I think what happens is, like, nobody wants to hear about money problems when they're dealing with health problems or they're dealing with, like, you know, unemployment around the country and all the people losing their jobs. But it's like, that discussion never ended. It just kind of got put on the back burner until we have, you know, we deal with like the clear and present danger in front of us, I think, you know, and this is,
but that absolutely though, Ramona, and they should, but dear, to hide behind something that's out in front of you where you don't have to address something. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel. I feel like they said, okay, we know that we have a pandemic. We know that we're probably not looking too good as far as playing fall sports. Now these athletes are getting together and they want to come after us with major law firms from all over the country. We don't have any answers to it. Let's just shut it down and go back to the drawing board on how we're going to handle it, because we're going to shut it down anyway. And then once two other major conferences or another major conference decided to shut it down and a couple of schools decided to shut it down, it's easier for these conferences to start to say, I'm done.
We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson. Key, do you think the SEC is going to play, or do they eventually shut it down too?
I think they're shutting it down too. They're going to shut it down too, but they want to make sure that they still remain the big bad bullies.
Right.
And make everybody think that, oh, look at us, we're tough, we're going to finish it out. And at the end of the day, they're going to come to their senses, because as players continue to get ready for the National Football League, and I've talked to several college players here in the last several days that are getting themselves ready to go play on Sundays, that they're going to see a trickle-down effect happening where a lot of players are going to opt out and go play on Sundays.
Yeah.
The SEC is going to be standing there holding a bag full of money for nothing.
Right. Mm. Option is good for them.
Interesting. Well, Key, do you think players are going to transfer? Like, let's say, like, you know, the SEC keeps the doors open. Like, they decide to play just each other, and the ACC, a couple of teams play. Do you think players from SC or Cal, Oregon, whatever, will try to transfer those schools so they can get a season in?
No, I think any players in the Pac-12 conference, they're either going to the NFL or they're going to go to school, and they're going to wait to see what happens in the spring.
Yep.
And they're going to get their Pac-12 degrees, and that's pretty much it. They're not. No one's going to start transferring from Ohio State and Michigan to all these other schools. If you think about it, Harbaugh, Ryan Day, and Coach Franklin were sitting around talking about, we should play, we should play. Like, come on, man, stop. How you gonna? How y'all? First of all, y'all ain't no damn doctors. You some damn coaches, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all not to be trusted anyway. Players don't trust y'all because they know all y'all thinking about is putting people on the field, and you could care less about their health and their well-being. Because if you really felt good about their health and their well-being, you wouldn't be sitting up talking about they should be playing. You would be sitting up trying to control the situation by not letting them play and telling them to get their degrees, and we'll get back at it next year. But no, you just want to get on the field because whatever little reduction in finances you may get, you don't want to have to deal with
it. Mm.
It's simple. It's simple. It's not that difficult to see. But a lot of people want to act like it is. I'm happy that the Pac-12 decided to do what they did because these kids need to be thought of as human beings and not just football and basketball players and baseball players and whatever other sport may be coming in the fall.
Keyshawn Johnson is with us. Key, does this mean almost by default that Clay Helton gets at least another year at USC?
Yeah, they don't play.
Right.
You're a cold piece of work, John. You want the guy gone, and they haven't even touched the field.
Right. I don't think you can.
Does Chip Kelly get five more years because they didn't play?
Well, here's the thing. Chip has what left, Key? Three left? I think Clay only has one left.
No, I think Clay got more years than that left.
Oh, I'd have to check.
I think Clay got more.
I thought Clay only had 1 year left after this. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think that how's that going to play with USC fans? I mean, I like Clay personally. I think he's a great guy. But USC's all about winning. Clay hasn't been winning. It didn't seem like Mike Bone was in any hurry to change him out last year. This just pushes it down the road, right?
No, you can't, bro. You can't fire the guy. They're not just playing.
Right.
That's not right.
Yeah.
No, man, you can't do that. You got to just let it play itself out. You know, you can't get rid of a guy just because something didn't go well, not in his control. I mean, you just can't do that. He has to come back for the 2021 season, and then you evaluate him based on the 2021 season because I'm anticipating there won't be no football in the spring either. Why would you play in the spring, first of all?
Well, what would those teams look like? Yeah, none of the good players would play. None of the guys going to the NFL. You wouldn't have played in that scenario, would you? You were a number one overall draft pick. If they would have asked you to play in the spring, you would have got ready, right? Yeah.
It wouldn't have been even close to me having to take the field in the springtime. It's not something to even think about. Plus, on top of that, the NFL is not going to change what they do to help the NCAA out. They may alter some things, like combine may, instead of teams going or players going the week, you know, for a whole week, they may spread groups out maybe a week at a time or things like that, where the offensive linemen go for a whole week, the defensive linemen go, then the quarterbacks go, and it may stretch out a longer period of time over evaluations. But outside of that, they're not going to all of a sudden halt what they do in their evaluations and Super Bowls and things like that to appease the NCAA. That's not going to happen. And why would you play, you know, I don't know what you would call it, 30-something weeks of football in a short period of time, which means you're playing college football, and now all of a sudden you got to get ready for the NFL several weeks later? That's torture to your body.
Yep.
Mm.
Don't think it's happening. Keyshawn Johnson is joining us. Ramona Shelburne filling in for Mace. Okay, Key, so Monday morning, the new morning show starts. It's going to be you, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mehenti from New York. You get offered stuff all the time. I've known you for a long time. You get a lot of opportunities. Why did you take this one? A lot of people thought you loved it in California. In New York, everybody knows you lived in New York when you played for the Jets. Why did you take this challenge on?
Well, I don't necessarily look at it as a challenge. Obviously, in terms of sports talk radio, the morning drives, national radio is the biggest. Yep. ESPN, big platform. And, you know, they asked me back in February, when I was back doing NFL primetime with Chris Berman and TJ, and they pulled me in the room, and we had a conversation about if an opportunity presented itself for me to move back east, would I seize the moment? And
the entire time doing February and March and April, and as time went on, I just continued to say, well, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of happy here. Things, you know, I took the old sure. coaches, you know, the coach's position. Well, everything's working out where I'm happy at 710 ESPN. Everything's good. And then as time continued to go on, they continued to just keep coming. And at the end of the day, I said, well, you know what? This is an opportunity. Not only do I get a chance to host the top morning show on a platform of radio, but also television, but I also get a chance to get back into the studio with NFL Live, and I'll still be able to do NFL Primetime and still do my feature sit-down, so NFL Countdown and Monday Night Countdown. So it was kind of like all made sense.
Right. It was the offer you can't refuse. It's all the things you love doing and all the things you're really good at.
Here's the real question, though, Keith. Every time you said no, did they put some extra money on top of that?
No, it, to be honest with you, Ramona, it's not even about the finances. And I think a lot of people would assume that, you know, you people just assume because you tell someone, I don't really want to do it. I'm thinking about it.
That's
that
never been you.
Money.
That's never been you, though.
Well, it's not even that, though, John. It's one of those deals where I enjoy doing what I do. I mean, four years ago, you thought I would already be at home. By now,
I thought you would hate it.
I would quit in a month.
Yeah, I thought you would hate it.
4 years later, I done moved to Brooklyn, New York, or Manhattan, New York, and Greenwich, Connecticut, and all the different places that I'm looking to reside in because I genuinely enjoy having fun talking sports, talking politics, talking whatever it is in the world that we live in that we're surrounded with today. Now, our morning show, obviously, we're still going to talk Lakers and Dodgers and Rams. And although we're a national show, we're going to be on from 5 to 9 on the West Coast on 710 ESPN. You could catch us every single morning 5 days a week on that, but you also could catch us on ESPN2 in the mornings and ESPN News in the morning. So it's going to be fun. I think, you know, some people are underestimating the situation because they really don't know me, and they think that it's just going to be a party, but they have no idea. They have no idea the type of work and preparation that's being put in already over the last couple of weeks since I've been here in New York.
Key, you know, I will never doubt you again because I was one of those who thought you would see that alarm going off at 4 o'clock in the morning and after about 2 weeks be like, come on, man, really? 4? I'm going to get up and do this morning show?
Ramona, as Key will tell you, I was the president of that club.
Yeah.
And you, Key, you won me over in a month. And I filled in on that show a few times, Ramona, and Key was like the first one there and the guy coming up with the most ideas. Key, I've told you this before off the air. I think you absolutely deserve this. You killed it. And I think you're going to kill it in New York. I think it's going to be great.
Well, I appreciate it, Ramona. You said 4 a.m. Try 3:15 right now.
ooh, okay. So wait, and here's the other question I need to know. Are you going to be teaching Zubin and Jay how to do morning radio? Are you like the vet? Are you in that locker room there?
No, I think Zubin's had some experience at doing radio, and Jay has filled in for Mike and Mike and Golic and Wingo from time to time. So he has some interesting stuff. I'm going to have to let Jay know that he's not he thinks he's a smart ass because he went to Duke. I've already had to put him in his place a couple times by LBJ. So that'll be very interesting when we start talking NBA because he honestly thinks he knows more NBA than me just because he played.
Key, how worried should I be about my Lakers? I'm not all that worried. I think that because LeBron and AD are on the team, they're going to be favored in any series. And if those two guys show up, I think they can still win the whole thing. But they haven't looked great in the bubble. Are you concerned at all?
No, I'm not overly concerned. I'm optimistically concerned.
Yeah.
I think that you have LeBron, you have AD. We'll be getting Rondo back.
Kuzma looks good.
Kuzma's okay. I just think that there's something about playing in the playoffs versus playing in a regular season when things don't really mean as much, when you have things wrapped up. You know, you just kind of go through the motions, but their motions look different than everybody else's because of the expectations. So when they're kind of floating and going through the motions and teams are getting at them, it looks as though they're not in sync. But you also got to take into consideration that it doesn't mean anything. They got the number one seed, so it's kind of like I'm out here, but and I'm playing, I'm getting run because I need to stay in shape and I'm sweating, but I'm not pushing the gas all the way to the floor. I'm pushing it, but it's not all the way to the floor where it's hitting the mat. That's how I look at situations when it's already wrapped up.
Well, Key,
if that makes sense to you.
Yep, it completely makes sense. I look forward to hearing the new show. I'm sorry you have to get up at 3:15. As you know, I'm up at that time in the night all the time anyway. So if you ever need support for any of your Laker positions, give me a ring and we'll get it going.
Well, that's 3:15 my time, which is midnight your time.
Ah, sure. I'm just getting home. The games are just ending.
That's true. That would be true.
All right, man. Well, it sounds like you haven't found a place yet.
I haven't. We're going to be looking here a lot here in the next couple of months. No, I'm in corporate housing, so.
Sure. Yeah, you'll be fine.
It's one of those deals.
All right, man. Well, we're looking forward to hearing it. And most of all, stay safe back there, man. Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Talk to you guys.
All right, Key. See ya. There's Keyshawn Johnson. That show starts Monday. I think, Funch, we're in that show 5 to 9 a.m., right?
Yes.
And then we're going to Greeny. And then we're going to Max, and then Mason and I are going back to middays.
I love it.
And then Sedano and LZ are coming in after that. And so this is Ramona. It's the last week we get Funch on the show.
Oh, what's Funch doing?
Well, this is a little inside baseball, but he's like the only full time board op at the station.
Yeah.
So he's got to do the majority of the rest of the day.
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to be assigned to the mornings now. Radio Siberia.
Oh no!
Early morning.
Oh, yeah, you go from working 3 to 6:30 to working in the morning like that?
Yeah,
yeah. Funch, as you know, Mason and I have worked every time slot. It's all the same after a while.
Yeah, I worked this every time slot as well. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's all the same.
It'll be cool to get my day done by noon though.
All right, still to come this hour, Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com and Game of Games will update you on the latest with the Lakers. Dallas, Ramona, has come all the way back to Portland, and with 3 minutes to go in the third, they're all locked up. We'll tell you what that means for the Lakers coming up next. Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. The Lakers keeping a close eye on this game that's on TNT right now. Dallas has taken a lead over Portland late in the third quarter. And this, Ramona, could be the door opening for Phoenix. Because Phoenix won again today. And now, you know, the only way Phoenix gets in is if these other teams lose. And if Phoenix wins their last game and Portland goes 1-1, there is a scenario. Memphis has to lose in San Antonio, where Phoenix not only could get in, but could be the 8th seed. But so this game and Damian Lillard is trying to take it over. Melo just hit a 3 to tie the game at 89, but this is a game that, if you're a Laker fan, you want to be keeping a close eye on because it may have a key determining factor as to who gets into the play-in tournament. Now, Ramona, we've talked about the team nobody wants to play is Portland because of Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. If you're the Lakers, who do you want to see come out of that play-in tournament?
Ooh, if you're the Lakers,
probably
I don't
Memphis.
Know,
on the one hand,
I say Phoenix. Yeah, Memphis because they're wounded, right? They don't have their good young guy, and
Phoenix
Jared
was
4-0
against them, or the Lakers were 4-0 against
them. Yeah, I think like with Phoenix, like there's this sense like these are young guys; they'll just be happy to be there. You know, they'll just roll with it. You know, and they've already been so hot. How could they possibly keep this going? Right. I think they match up pretty well with Phoenix. I think you'd probably root for Phoenix or Memphis. Portland, again, they have not been playing well in the bubble. They've been playing fine, but they have the most talent and they have the most battle tested veterans there. The Spurs, I mean, I don't know how the Spurs are winning. Do you have any explanation for them? I mean, yeah.
DeMar DeRozan's
young players
really,
that they're just throwing out there.
DeMar DeRozan's really good, and nobody ever gives him credit for it. But they've got some other guys. Again, you know, Derek White's a really good player. Pop obviously is a great coach. You know, those teams that you're talking about, San Antonio, Memphis, they're all rooting against Portland in this game. They're all rooting hard for Dallas, and it's 92-91 Dallas with a minute and 10 seconds left. And by the way, Dallas is going to be the team that the Clippers open up against. How big of a deal is it that Montrezl Harrell announced he's back in the bubble? Is that a big deal for the Clippers?
I think that's really big. I mean, he's their energy guy. Yeah, I think so. I mean, don't you? I mean, he's their energy guy. He's like their Draymond Green.
He's the guy that gives them that toughness.
I voted for him. I voted for him this year. And with Dennis Schroeder second.
You voted Schroeder over Lou, over Lemon Pepper Lou.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the issue with I voted for Lou in the past. I didn't think he was as much of a six man this year. There's a lot of games where he had to play starters minutes and stuff. But I always come down to this with the Clippers. It's going to sound funny, but how can you have two sixth men of the year? One of them is the sixth man and one of them is the seventh man. Like, they can't both be six men.
Yeah, that's actually
right. You
got to
choose which one of those guys played that role. Yeah. And so last year, I think I did the opposite. I think I had Lou over Montrez, and I can't remember what all the thinking was last year. But this year, yeah, I went Trez. I thought he had a really big impact on their team this year and gave him a real lift. And like, he's their toughness. Like, he's their emotional leader out there. You know, Kawhi is stoic. Paul George is pretty stoic. Pat Beverly, he gives them obviously a lot of energy and toughness. But like Montrezl Harrell, who by the way is a free agent this year, and I think is going to be, if there is any kind of free agency in the pandemic, will be a pretty interesting guy.
Right. I've heard a lot of people suggest that he would leave. That the Clippers wouldn't pay him competitively with everyone else. All right, so game
they tied. They could. It just depends on who throws money at him.
Right. Game tied between Phoenix and or between Portland and Dallas bubble with 11 seconds to go in the third. We'll keep you posted on that. Coming up next, if you're a USC fan, Ryan Abraham from USCfootball.com will join us to tell us what today's news means for USC. What happens to all their star players now that there's not going to be a season? We'll get into that with Ryan coming up. Ramona's in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland show. Ramona Shelburne is filling in for Mace. The big news of the day. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten shut it down. No fall sports for either conference. Now, the two biggest fish in the sea, when you talk about the Big Ten and the Pac-12, when it turns in terms of revenue, are Ohio State and USC. Earlier, we caught up with a guy from Ohio State. We wanted to get the USC perspective, and so we tracked down our friend Ryan Abraham from USCfootball.com. Ryan, let me start with this. Did this surprise you today, or did you think it was coming?
No, I thought it was coming, John. It looked like there might have been a little pushback when the players said they wanted to play, and that hashtag came out, and everyone was united behind that. We thought the Big Ten might pause a little bit, but they ended up not doing that. And I think once the Big Ten did it, we all felt the Pac-12 was going to follow. And it was like within an hour, we heard about the Pac-12. So not a big surprise once the Big Ten came down.
Well, what does this mean for the rest of college sports? If football and it looks like men's basketball are postponed until the spring.
Yeah, so for the Big Ten, it was about football. For the Pac-12, this was about all fall sports. So there's not going to be any competition. And as you know, college basketball starts in the fall as well, just later on. So they can practice. The athletes that are on campus right now for football and the other four sports for fall sports at USC, they can continue to take advantage of the testing and the training tables and all that kind of stuff. and they're waiting for the county and the city to kind of get going with allowing them to practice. But as of now, no new athletes can come to campus. But eventually, Ramon, I think the plan is basketball can come back, all the different sports can come back, and they can take advantage of being on campus, which, you know, has proven to be a safe environment. They haven't had a new COVID positive test in the last 3 weeks at USC, but then they couldn't have any competitions until after January 1st. At that point, you know, there's been talk about maybe you move March Madness to May. Who knows? But right now, basketball is at least going to be delayed. You won't have those out-of-conference games before the end of the year.
We're talking to Ryan Abraham. Ryan, we had Keyshawn on earlier, and he doesn't think they're going to play in the spring. Do you think they're going to play football in the spring?
Yeah, I do. You know, I've been talking to some different sources at USC. There's definitely a level of optimism there. And there's even a potential for revenue, more revenue, having football in the spring than you would in the fall. You knew there weren't going to be any people in the Coliseum, but there's that potential, I think, for the spring. And part of it is there's a few different things. I think right now, the COVID, the outbreaks in the Pac-12 right now, in five of the counties that the Pac-12 schools are in, they're uncontrolled. Four more of them, I think they're at dangerous levels. So it's like nine of the 12. It's pretty bad. Yeah. So I felt like by the spring, that might be better. Also, the testing aspect of it, people have told me over and over again, the NFL, they have on-site testing. You can get a test in 15 minutes and have the results, where right now you have to send things out to the lab. If you can have these rapid tests in the spring, it would make it much easier to control things and be able to take someone out of the circulation if they got tested, right? But the big part, I think, guys, was trying to understand the cardiac aspect of it, myocarditis that they don't really know that much about, and hopefully they will in a few months. But there's another aspect, too, is the quarantining. Right now, if you're in L.A. County and, like, one player gets it on the practice field, basically the whole team has to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. So hopefully those kind of restrictions would be eased. So there's some optimism that some of the things that would happen now that wouldn't allow you to play would be mitigated by the time you get to the spring. So I think there's some optimism there, actually, John, to play in the spring.
Ryan Abraham is with us. Ryan, the good USC players, the players with NFL aspirations, would those guys play in the spring, or would they punt? In essence, would they just say, I'm going to go get ready for the NFL? What do you think?
Yeah, I heard you talk to Keyshawn. He said he wouldn't play. There's going to be some guys like maybe an Amon-Ra St. Brown who, you know, could go in. He's going to be a high NFL draft pick. But, you know, maybe an Elijah Vera Tucker, who was one of the best guards in the country last year, but he was going to move out to left tackle. I think there's some opportunities for guys like a Jordan Iosefa, who came back from a knee injury, you know, for his senior season. He wants to go out there and play. There might be some, but I think at least for this specific USC team, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of guys leave for the NFL just because they don't have that proven draft stock where, you know, if you're Trevor Lawrence, yeah, you don't have to play. You're Justin Fields. There's no problem there. But I think for a lot of the guys, they're going to want to come back and kind of show what they can do. You look at the last three number one draft picks with Joe Burrow this past year, none of them would have been high draft picks if they didn't play their senior year. So I think for a lot of the players, there's going to be an opportunity. If there's an opportunity to play, they're going to want to play.
Well, you know, I think that there's a chance of that, but there's also a risk of playing two football seasons in the same calendar year. Just the toll it takes on your body, the lack of time to recover from one season and into the next, not to mention the NFL implications. But if they don't play this spring season, what is the financial impact on a place like USC?
Yeah, it's major. And I think you're right about the concern. Like, they would have to have a shortened spring season, maybe delay the 2021 fall season. But the financial impact right now is certainly major. I mean, football is just such a huge part of any athletic budget. We saw Stanford eliminate 11 sports. Talking to sources at USC, don't think that's imminent, that they would eliminate any of the 21 sports they have there. But if there wasn't any football in the spring, which is going to be a chance to bring in some revenue for the school, I think then that could potentially be on the table. But yeah, it's certainly uncharted water, unprecedented times. They would love to be able to get some kind of spring football season in and get some revenue from the football team, as long as obviously if they can do it safely. But if not, yeah, we might see more things where you're going to see some, some of the sports get canceled, you know, cuts in the budget, people getting laid off, things like that. It's going to be devastating to a lot of these athletic departments.
Ryan Abraham is with us. Ryan, you and I, ever since you've been coming on the show for the past, I don't know, 2 years, we've used the phrase hot seat to describe Clay Helton. Because of the pandemic, the hot seat kind of goes away for everybody, right? That Clay's not going to be, they're certainly not going to make any move on Clay until they play football.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think this was a good opportunity for Clay Helton because it was such a great schedule and they had such a great team coming back. And you could look at one way, well, hey, they were going to get beat by Alabama and Notre Dame anyway, but those were opportunities to get big wins over power programs. And he's got a really talented roster. The offense should be great. They put a, you know, new defensive staff in, but so many guys coming back. But yeah, I think, you know, I think he's safe during the pandemic, but it's an opportunity missed. And if the season is completely missed, like Ramona was talking about, I don't think the 2021 team is going to be nearly as good as what the 2020 team was going to be. So that would be another missed opportunity. So if they get a chance to at least play in the spring and, you know, get to play Oregon again, who embarrassed them at the Coliseum, and get a win there, I think that would be a good step for Clay Helton. But yeah, certainly I don't think his job's in jeopardy if they don't play any football.
Durant, what does it look like at USC right now? Like, are there students on campus? How many? What is the team practicing, or were they practicing? How's that been working?
Yeah, there's hardly anyone there. Like, even administrators are usually not around. Now, the players can come back. Anyone that's back right now from the football team or the other sports, they can stay there, and they can still work out, and they're getting, you know, good care there. But they can't do, I mean, just for the L.A. County, they can't lift a weight inside. They can't throw a football around. Like,
oh, wow.
Real limitations right now just from the, you know, I think for USC, UCLA, and Cal, they're not allowed to do any of those things. I think Stanford and Santa Clara County, they can throw a football, but only between two people. You can't have, like, a center
back
exchange and then throw it to someone. So there's some really weird stuff going on in California. So it makes sense. Like, you weren't going to be able to start football anytime soon. They can't even touch a football yet.
How weird is that?
Wow.
Yeah, let I was
going to
ask
it's like you. Sort of a tennis thing where, like, you and I could play doubles, John, but we couldn't have, you know, Ramona and Mace come in and play fours. I think that's something like that where they just didn't want too many people touching the same common ball or something.
Wow, super weird. All right, Ryan, hey, thank you for doing this. I'm sure this story will change, you know, almost weekly, but today's news was certainly disappointing, and now we kind of punt to the spring. So, by the way, does the site stay up? Are you guys going to continue content and developing the site even though there's not going to be a season?
We're definitely going to do that. I mean, we just have to get creative. I think you guys have to on the radio. We're having more, like, long-form interviews with players and coaches and former players and stuff. So just try to be creative and, you know, talk about what – there's always something interesting at USC, but – you know, it's going to be a long off. We'll see how that goes.
What does recruiting happen? I mean, I don't know if they've officially called off high school football yet, but what is there to cover with recruiting?
It's tougher too, Ramona, because they've had this extended dead period from the NCAA. They're not allowed to take visits and things like that. So there have been a lot of commits. USC's done a better job with the new coaches they've had, picking up a lot of commitments. They're ranked, you know, top 10 in the country. But, you know, if it goes another 3 or 4 months without visits and things like that, who knows? But they've actually recruited pretty well during the pandemic. So the new staff members Clay Helton brought in, I think, have been paying dividends.
Ryan, thank you for doing this, man. We always appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. You guys be safe. Thank you.
All right, you too, man. There's Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. And, Ramona, next up is Game of Games. You against Funch, against Lindsay. It's my game, and we'll tackle it next on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, today it's my game. Ramona's in for May, so it's Ramona against Lindsay against Funch. Yesterday we had a weird game because Michael jumped in uninvited. By the way, Lindsay, I think I should get half a point for that.
Okay.
That way, if there's a tie at the end of the year, then we won't have a tie. Okay, so
right.
I get half a point.
We'll give you the half a point.
All right, so today's game, Ramona, I don't know if you've played this game before.
Okay.
It's time for Cash Cab. Okay, so I don't know if you watch Cash Cab.
I hate this one because I'm so bad at it.
But you get it. Okay, so here's how it works, Ramona. I ask each one of you an individual question. If you get it right, you stay in the cab. If you miss, you're out. The last one who's still in the cab wins. Now, you can ask for a hint one time.
One
but
time.
You only get one, okay? It's like a lifeline. All right? Okay. And Lindsay, I don't know why you hate this game. I think you won the last time we played. I think you beat
Mason.
I've won
it once, but I just think it's so hard, and I just got really lucky with the questions.
Okay, so here we go. Each question is individually for each person. So, Lindsay, this is your first question. What Chinese-American martial arts icon died in 1973 at the age of 32?
I'm going to go with Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee is correct. You're on to the second round. Funch.
Yes.
In the sport of boxing, what does the abbreviation TKO stand for?
Technical knockout.
Technical knockout is correct. You're on to the next round. Ramona.
Okay.
What scale is used to measure the magnitude of earthquakes?
That would be a Richter scale.
Richter scale is correct. You're on to the second round. Everybody's on to the second round. All right, round two. Lindsay, in the Batman series, what is the name of Bruce Wayne's trusty butler assistant?
Oh, Jesus. I know this. Is it...
Remember, you have a hint if you want it.
Is it Alfred?
Yes, it is Alfred, and you're on to the next
round.
That's
good, Lance. Well,
that was good. Last name. It was either that or Winston.
That was a good pull right there.
I think I know his last name, but I'm not even sure. All right, Funch. Ray Kroc opened the first franchise of what restaurant chain in California in 1955?
McDonald's.
McDonald's, and you're through to the third round. Ramona, Liar's Poker.
All right.
Liar's Poker, a popular bar bluffing game, is played for what substitute for cards? What do you play Liar's Poker with?
Oh, I kind of have no idea, but I'm going to take, should I take it? I'll just take a guess because I don't want to waste my hint, right?
Okay, if you miss your out, but go ahead.
Would it be nuts?
You are out. You play Liar's Poker. Lindsay or Funch, do you know?
Nope.
No.
You play Liar's Poker.
That's a hard question.
With $1 bills, with serial numbers on $1 bills.
And so that's really hard. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you should ask for your
That was a hard question.
Okay, but now.
Well, okay, but I was trying to save it. That's good gameplay.
Right, there you go. All right. So, Lindsay, it's back to you. It's a two-person race. Lindsay, in 2007... what grandmother of six became the first female speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives?
Oh, man. Is it... what year?
2007.
Is it Ruth... well, actually, can I use a hint?
Yes. She is from San
Francisco. You can call a friend. You can call your friend Momo.
No. She
call your friend Momo.
No, she's not allowed to do that.
I know this one.
Yes, I know you do. Lindsay, she's from San Francisco, and she has remained the Speaker of the House to this day.
Is it Nancy Pelosi?
It is Nancy Pelosi, and you are into the next round. All right.
A moment.
Patented by its inventor around 1900, what type of bed folds out of the wall?
Murphy bed.
Murphy bed.
Alan Sewa has.
Alan Sewa.
These are so easy.
Okay.
These are so easy.
Lindsay.
Gosh.
What famous nightclub owner shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald, the assassin of John F. Kennedy? Who killed Oswald? Oswald killed Kennedy. Who killed Oswald?
I can't get any more hints either. I don't know it.
Do either Ramona or Funch, either one of you
know? I know.
Well, who is it, Funch?
Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby. All right, but that's not your question. So, Funch, you need this to win. Or else we have to go to a tiebreaker. And if we go to a tiebreaker, it even brings Ramona back in. All right, so here we go.
Oh, fun. Okay.
All right. Funch, this is your question. Women go crazy for Manolo Blahnik because he designs what?
That is easy.
Boots.
Oh, so easy.
Boots,
so
right?
Easy.
Oh.
I'd say it's wrong.
I think that is wrong.
Manolo shoes? Heels?
Shoes. They're not.
Yeah, they're shoes. They're
said
high heels.
Boots. Lindsay boots. And Ramona, you guys decide. Is it
high heels? I think you say no.
No, I think
of course you're going to say no.
I think they do make some boots
again.
Too. They make boots too, but they're definitely not known for their boots.
Okay, so now, I'll tell you what.
Ooh, fun. Okay.
Now you're all back in, and we're going to decide it. I'll give each one of you a red light challenge, okay? Now, here's the way these work.
Okay.
You each get 30 seconds. You simply blurt out answers. There's no such thing as a wrong answer here, but you have to get all of them in 30 seconds. So, Ramona, I'll let you go first, okay?
Okay. Yep.
At the Summer Olympics, 8 track and field events are considered field competitions. Name 7. Go.
Field competitions.
Yeah.
Javelin.
1.
Shot put.
2.
Shot put. Discus.
3.
Long jump.
4.
Hurdles.
No. Keep going.
Hurdles. No. No. I don't know anymore.
You don't know anymore. You got eight.
Keep guessing.
You got 8 seconds. 5.
I said javelin,
4,
discus, shot put,
3,
long jump,
2,
triple jump,
1. That's triple another. Jump. It's 5, and you're out.
Okay.
All right. Here's the one you
that's
missed.
That's it. That's all I got.
Long jump.
I forgot high jump.
Yep, you did forget high jump. Long jump.
High jump.
Long jump, triple jump, high jump, pole vault, shot put,
pole vault,
discus, javelin, and hammer throw. Were the 8.
I missed hammer. So I missed
hammer. I never
would
have got hammer throw.
Yeah, but you didn't need
hammer throw.
You didn't need to get them all.
High jump and.
Yeah, you missed high jump and you missed pole vault. You would have got those 2. You would have been through.
I should have got pole vault. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Lindsay, you have 30 seconds for this one. In the NFL, 4 teams feature felines as their team name. Name all 4. Go.
The Bengals, 1. The Panthers.
2.
The Jaguars.
3.
There's no Tigers. What else? 49ers, the Broncos, the Texans. What am I missing?
15 seconds.
this is
the
too
Lions.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah, okay. The Lions.
Lions was the one you were missing.
Lions and Tigers. Yeah.
Yeah. Lions.
You got Jaguars, but not Lions.
Yeah, you got Joe. She got Jaguars, Panthers, and Bengals right out of the gate. And I didn't know if you were ever going to get to Lions. Okay, Funch, to stay alive, you have 30 seconds. Name 5 of the 6 original flavors of Kool-Aid. Go.
Grape.
1.
Fruit punch.
No.
Cherry.
2.
Strawberry.
3.
Oh, geez.
15 seconds.
So we got grape, strawberry, cherry.
Need 2 more.
Oh, geez.
Missing an obvious one.
Blueberry.
No.
No.
5.
Come on, Bunch. Come on, Bunch.
3. 2. Lindsay Fulton wins again.
Wow.
Plus Kool-Aid. You got orange. You do lemon.
Lemon lime.
Raspberry.
Right. Yeah, that's it, Lindsay. You got them all. Cherry.
Orange and lemon lime.
Here's the ones you needed. Lindsay got the 3 you were missing. Funch, you got cherry, grape, and strawberry. You needed to get 2 of these 3 that Lindsay got all of. Lemon lime, orange, and raspberry. Would have put you through. Lemon lime, orange, and raspberry. But Lindsay gets it by coming up with all 4 names of feline teams in the NFL. Well done, Lindsay.
That was good.
And you guys all played well there. Now, as you know, Mason in Ireland is going back to midday starting next week. And I am working the show. Mason's out all week. I'm working the show today and tomorrow. And then, Ramona, you're bringing it home Thursday and Friday when I go meet my family in Idaho. So I only have 2 crosstalks left with Alan Sliwa, and one of them will be next on 710 ESPN. Today, do we have Sliwa yet, Funch?
Right here, John, right here.
Alan, are you watching
this
Portland-Dallas game? Damian Lillard has 53 points, and it's 119-119 with 4 minutes to go.
This is literally, Ramona, this entire fourth quarter, neither team, I think, has a stop. There's 0 defense. And Dame, I don't know how many Dame has scored in a row. The only possession I think I've seen in the last maybe 5 minutes of this game is Dame driving and kicking at Carmelo for a 3. Other than that, it's been all Damian Lillard. And, John, just to hit on something you mentioned earlier in the show, if you're the NBA, I don't think you could take away this play-in tournament idea and this concept, because I think there's so many people glued into 8 through 11 in the West that it's such a who would have thought that we're paying this much attention to the final team trying to make the postseason?
And Kristaps Porzingis is actually leading the Mavericks. He's got 32 points. Luka's out there and playing well, but Dame is just Dame just shot a 40-footer and missed. I'm not kidding, a 40-footer and missed it.
It's great. I mean, isn't it, John? Like, how cool is this just to have a game like this going on? And it's so much at stake. And
well, and Alan, think about this. The Lakers, if you're a Laker fan, this game is critical.
Sure.
Because if Portland loses, it opens the door for Phoenix to get the 8th seed. I mean, if Memphis loses and Portland loses this game and Phoenix wins their last one to go 8-0, they not only get in to the play-in tournament, they could get the 8th seed depending on what
Unbelievable.
Happens with, with San Antonio. And so there's so many possibilities, and that's going back to your original point. That's why the NBA has to keep this alive, because it keeps three or four other cities, other fan bases engaged. And I think this is going to be they've stumbled into a gold mine. I think this is going to be around forever.
Ramona, listen to this, all right? Memphis, 458 winning percentage. Portland, 458 winning percentage. Oh. Phoenix, 458. San Antonio, 457. And I know this Portland game is the only one left, because Phoenix already won today. Memphis already lost. But it's just
They all have one more after this, though.
Right. One more after this. But it's just kind of seeing this all unfold and seeing and you know, this is one of the main reasons why people say, well, I don't know if I want to face Portland in the first round, because Damian Lillard can go for 50 any night. He's done it two games in a row.
Well, and he did it on the Kobe Memorial
Night.
Well,
I think
the
thing that I love about Dame is Dame is kind of a Kobe type player. He's got that like mentality of, I want to play with the same franchise my whole career. I'm not looking for greener pastures. I'm not looking for a new team. If I want to be the guy that leads my team to a victory, right? Like, it's like he puts it all on his shoulders. And you know, we have this era now where players move around all the time, trying to find a better position, trying to find a better spot. But that guy has planted his roots down there, and I just have a lot of respect for him, because he backs it up. And when he messed up the other day, where he missed the two free throws, he owned that too.
I can't believe the Knicks traded Porzingis. He's 7'3" and he shoots threes.
John, how about Michael every time when we talk about Luka, Sacramento not drafting Luka?
Oh.
Well, you know, a lot of people, Ramona, is, you know, we're all Luke Walton fans.
Yeah.
Sacramento laid such an egg in the bubble and the Lakers play them on Thursday for the final bubble game. You know, I just personally like Luke and have, you know, became friends with him when he played for us and when he coached for us. I fear that they could make wholesale changes up there, not just coaches, but executives, everybody. Do you think that, how married to that executive group is that ownership?
Well, that's a big question, because, you know, it's really hard to evaluate Marvin Bagley Jr., right? Or the third, right?
It's not hard to come to the conclusion they should have taken Luka.
Exactly. Right. So like that's you know, if you're the Kings, you keep holding on to this idea that when Bagley's healthy, he's going to be great, and where our draft pick is going to look justified, or just give it another year and we'll look good. But this year, I mean, Marvin Bagley looked good in summer. He looked good over the summer. I think people were excited about him, and he just never stayed healthy. I mean, you've never seen what he could do. And so not only did Vlade choose Marvin Bagley over Luka, he chose him over Trae Young. Remember, Sacramento had that pick.
That's right.
The second pick that year.
Right. And I don't want to pick on the Kings and say that they're the first people to do this. I mean, the Blazers took Sam Bowie ahead of Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah.
But John,
even staying in that draft, what if Phoenix took Luka? It'd be Luka and Devin Booker in the backcourt.
By the way, Lillard is so good.
He really is. He's unbelievable.
He's like taking one on five. He might get 60 points in this game. But Alan, it's so interesting, because now you're going to have, obviously, whoever plays makes it into the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. So let's say it's Portland and Phoenix. You're going to have those fan bases glued to the screen. You're going to have the Laker fan base glued to the screen because they want to see who the Lakers are going to play. And you're also going to have all the other Western Conference teams because, like, the fours and the fives and all that stuff. By the way, Lillard is now 17 of 17 from the free throw line.
Wow.
You think he was mad, Ramona, about missing those free throws against the Clippers?
Yeah. And that's what you have to respect. I mean, it's not always the guy who – you can't always just celebrate a guy who makes the shot at the end of the game. It's what you do after you miss the shot at the end of the game and how you respond to it. I mean, that's – It's impressive the way he puts the team on his back like this.
All right, let me ask you guys something because Alan, you work all the Laker games like I do, and how last night was weird because offensively the Lakers found their stride. They found their three pointer. They found their offensive, like, big nights from Kuz, from AD, from LeBron. But in the fourth quarter, when Denver had their backups out there, the Lakers couldn't come up with a stop defensively. Alan, what do you take away from that game? More that the Lakers found their offense or lost their defense?
Listen, I think, and you could tell in that fourth quarter too, LeBron and AD, there's times they're just kind of smiling on the defensive side. I mean, John, we can't, it's really difficult to gauge the Lakers in this restart. It really is, just because you can tell that they're just getting ready for the postseason. So I know that fourth quarter, it wasn't the most comforting feeling seeing Jamal Murray, Jokic, all their main starters sitting on the bench, and it's still a game, and it needed, you know, a great play drawn up at the end for Kuzma to hit a three and the Lakers win. But I think we walk away saying Lakers shot over 50% from the three-point line, John. I mean, all these games, we've seen how poorly they've been shooting last two a little bit better. I'll take that away. And I'm not saying that, you know, yesterday was impressive or we should be happy and proud that the Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets, but it's also good just to get a win.
Ramona, what'd you think?
Look, I think they needed to get a win. Not because of anything, you know, like they need the confidence or they need that. You just need to have some positivity going into the playoffs. Like, you just needed to have, you know, Kuz have a game like that, continue to play defense like that, show that he can be a factor on that side of the ball. You needed to have him hit a shot like the way he did at the end, as you mentioned earlier. Like, it gives teams have to respect that now. They have to realize, like, oh, LeBron is not necessarily going to get the ball every time. We can't just triple team him. You know, Vogel used him as a decoy. He drew two men away from the ball and set up that shot for Kuzma. It was a brilliant play. Was executed well, and I think Kuzma, like, feels that, and then hears LeBron in the locker room say, for us to win, Kyle has to be our third best player. And I'm sure he wants to be the best player in any team he's on, but for LeBron to sort of affirm that and say that out loud, I thought was a big moment.
This might be the game of the year, John.
I was just going to say the exact same thing.
This is unbelievable.
It's 127-127 with 2 minutes to go.
130-127 now.
Oh, Porzingis just hit another three. Wow. Porzingis, by the way, is 7 of 9 from three. Lillard has 58 points.
Oh my god!
I mean, it's just insane. This may be one of those games with whoever has the ball last wins.
Unbelievable.
And
he just hit John. What'd you say last time? A 35-footer. He just hit a 35-footer. 130-130 now.
Yeah, and now he has. It bounced straight off the back of the rim and through. He has 61 points. Damian Lillard has 61 points. And neither team's calling timeout. And this is, you know, all the Lakers are in the bubble just sitting there going, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And I bet you, oh, now there's an offensive foul in Dallas. But the other thing is the Clippers are watching this game because they're going to end up playing Dallas. So, I mean, there's just so this play-in tournament's here to stay, guys. They're just going to – I mean, it's as good of an idea as the NBA has ever come up with.
John, you mentioned something how just kind of – we've talked about this. I remember when the conversation was just – first it was put to the side that the postseason was just going to be 10 teams for Major League Baseball. And I remember you and I saying, oh, no, we want 16. Mason was more on 10, and he was really protecting the Dodgers, less teams, better chance to win a World Series. But then when that right before opening night came, I remember, you know, both you and I were talking about how it just makes the sport more exciting. And I think something like this that, you know, you keep saying the play-in tournament. Let's say the play-in tournament wasn't there. I'm of course, you're still going to have a lot of attention. Memphis keeps losing these games. But the fact that Saturday and Sunday you might get two more games and it's all on the line to go play the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't think that – I think they found something. Like you said, they stumbled on something. I think it's one of those that you could see that for the East and the West moving forward, why not just have – add a little bit more stakes to the end of that that seeding, and certainly this is a perfect example of why.
The other big story today, of course, is that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled all fall sports. But Ramona, you said our friend Bruce Feldman tweeted out within the last 20 minutes yeah. that the is it the ACC that says game on?
Big 12.
So that's all those schools like Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, and I mean they're all saying they're going to play.
Is that a problem? Do you guys think it's a problem at all that they didn't all kind of make this decision in unison, at least yeah. the Power Five?
Yeah, they need to have a commissioner of college football and or somebody of college sports or somebody who can make their own decision. Because until they do, guys, you're going to have all this stuff. It's just going to be Kristaps Porzingis fouled out on that play.
Yep.
So he fouls out with 36 points, and the game tied at 130. So advantage Portland. By the way, if Dame scores, if you're just joining us, Damian Lillard is putting on an absolute clinic in the bubble. He has 61 points. 61 points. And if he were to get to 70, only six players ever in the history of the NBA have had a 70-point game.
Mm.
And you know he's coming down shooting every time he has the ball. So I think it's unlikely that he's going to
Wow, he just shredded their defense right there.
Yeah, and
basket
he just
to Hassan Whiteside.
Yep.
That's why John, when you hear guys like Patrick Beverley, Paul George, when they were running their mouth on Dame, it irks me a certain way, because here's Dame literally doing all on his own. I mean, can you imagine if Dame was on the Clippers team? I mean, if you take Paul George off that team and you put Damian Lillard. So it's not apples to apples. So when they were talking the way they were, and I love the way Dame responded as well. Listen, we're all obviously Laker fans, but you got such a respect for Damian Lillard. I like the way he handled himself in that situation.
And I'm with you, Alan. One of the things I dislike in our sports world, our sports culture, is like, you know, what Damian Lillard's done over his career, that matters, mm-hmm. right? It's not like one game doesn't undo what he's done in his entire career. It used to bother me towards the end of Kobe's career when especially his last year when he had some pretty awful shooting nights, you know, and people would just drag him for that. And you were like, okay, he's an older player. He has a bad night here or there, but what the body of what somebody has done in their career needs to count for something, mm-hmm. right? You can't just turn on somebody after one bad game. And I think that, but the biggest, you know, for when you watch Dame now, I mean, look, there's three guys on him right now. There's three guys trying to
get the inbound. Right.
Like, well, the 61 points he has is a career high. And and with 40 seconds to go, he's probably going to exceed his career high. So
Damian Lillard missed. Dallas is coming down with a chance here. Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is, Alan, I think you're right. I think it's the game of the year. There are 20 seconds remaining. Portland 132, Dallas 131. This has huge implications on who the Lakers play in the first round. And it appears that Luka Doncic is simply going to take matters into his own hands and try and win the game for Dallas.
Oh, they called
Luka
the
with
foul.
A bounce pass. And
that's a bold call right there.
That is a bold call.
An
Did
offensive
out
foul
of
with one, with 4 seconds to go in the game, and it's probably
over. And he
made
over. The shot, too.
Yeah, it's probably over. Portland's going to win by one.
Okay. Yeah, they're saying he ran into Dame as he... Oh, that's a bold offense. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bold call, but I think it's right.
John, how bad do you want to see Devin Booker and Damian Lillard in that play-in tournament? Let those two go at it.
Well, this kills Phoenix. This is just...
If Memphis loses again, if they lose in their last game, does that mean Phoenix gets in?
Oh. I think so, but Phoenix would have had a chance to get the 8 had Dallas.
Oh yeah, that's right. Here. That's right.
So let's reset. What just happened on the last play though? Damian Lillard missed a shot. So the Blazers are up 132-131. Damian Lillard misses a shot. Dallas comes down, they have the whole shot clock. They run a play and it looks like they've got an open corner three,
Tim Hardaway,
and they hit
Jr.
it, mm-hmm. but the ref called a foul on Dallas,
because who was that who ran into Dame there?
I couldn't tell who it was.
Yeah, I couldn't see either, but it was an illegal screen.
It was an illegal screen.
Yeah.
And so they called an offensive foul after the made three. So it's almost like when the kicker wins the game with a field goal kick, and they call it, they're like, oh, we called timeout.
Yeah, that was Trey Burke.
Reviewing it, or they called a foul, and that's it?
Well, I'm sure if Carlisle has his review, he's mm-hmm. using it. But I doubt he would have a review this late. But we'll find out. Let's take a break. We'll come back and set this all up for you. It looks like we're going to have some information as to who the Lakers are likely to be. Yeah, they're giving this ball to Portland. So they
4 seconds left.
But we'll take a break and reset for you when we come back. Crosstalk. Slee was here. Ramona's here. I'm John Ireland. Back with more after this on 710 ESPN. Well, what turned out to be the game of the bubble is over. Damian Lillard, 61 points, and Portland beats Dallas 134-131, and that clinches a spot in the Western Conference play-in if they win against the Nets on Thursday. They only need one more win, and they're in. They now, Ramona, control their own destiny.
Wow.
And wow, Alan, that was, you see why Damian Lillard and the Blazers are so dangerous.
You know what was just crazy, too, is here we are on a Tuesday. Just think about, I don't know, a month ago or so when we were kind of figuring out, okay, the structure's there for the Orlando Bubble. What's this thing going to be like? I was trying to tell Michael yesterday, I'm like, Michael, it has surpassed my expectations, and I was already so excited to just watch basketball again, see what some of these storylines are going to be. Obviously, Lakers got to run for an NBA championship. John, it's been good basketball. I mean, it's not just, you know, we're not just watching Lakers basketball and just focused on that. There's so much intrigue with all these teams. The fight for number 8, like you just said, Damian Lillard, now Portland's got a chance. They control their own destiny. 60, what do you have, 61? I mean, come on. More on a Tuesday night? What more are we watching?
Yeah, tied his career high. Also had 8 assists and 5 rebounds. 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Woo!
He really is the new Kobe. He can take over games by himself.
And I don't want to say he's doing it on his own. He's not. There's some good players that he's surrounded by, but he's so by far the best player on that team. And to win an NBA championship, you got to have two of him, right? You got to have Kawhi and Paul George. You got to have LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like that's why I appreciate a player like this. And with all the shifting and the moving that goes on in the NBA, he's just kind of doing it his own way. So there is part of that, you know, Ramona, and I get the you want to go chase a ring or you want to give yourself the best opportunity to put a ring on. Everybody can do it however they want to. This is a kind of a little bit more of an old school approach.
Yeah, I mean, you can say the same thing about Giannis so far in his career. Like he's stayed in one place. If he stays in Milwaukee his whole career, he'll be that kind of a player too. They want to do it on their own. They don't want to win because they joined somebody else's team or because somebody had to get traded for them to win. They want to do it on their own. And that's a throwback.
John, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Did you see him walking off? And did you see him right after they won? He said, I can't say it all, but he said, put some respect on my name. And I'm sure that's going off to some certain people in the league. Crosstalk, by the way, on 710 ESPN is powered by PowerPro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade PowerPro Service Specials. Great Cross-Trade service right now for our listeners. A $99 drain cleaning. You could go to powerproplumbing.com. Hey, John, did you think that was interesting at all yesterday? Coach was asked about the starting lineup, and after having Kuzma in, which I don't remember seeing a lineup like that this year where they went that big. And coach just said he's not completely ruling it out, but it's more going to come down to matchups.
Yeah, we actually have that, Alan. Funch, play that Frank Vogel talking about he probably won't start Kuzma in the playoffs.
I think it's unlikely that we keep him in a starting lineup. It's something I want to look at, you know, something we have available with, depending on what matchup we're looking at, you know. And we're likely going to need two quick guards the way most of these teams that we could be facing. It's a small ball league, you know, so we're going to need speed, defensive speed on the perimeter. So, you know, KCP and Danny is likely the starting lineup. But, you know, again, you get in different matchups, you know, their three-man is 6'10", and Michael Porter Jr. So, I mean, if you get into a matchup against Denver or against another team that is big like this, that could be an option for us. So it's just another part of the trial and error and evaluation of looking at different things during these seeding games.
Ramona, how, you know, I know this late in the season, you don't just start saying, oh, well, let's tweak the starting lineup, let's change things up. How much are you paying attention to what the Lakers did in the restart? Are you looking at it? Because I think there's people on both spectrums. There's people who are panicking and saying, oh, my gosh, this isn't the Lakers team we saw 4.5 months ago, which they're right, it's not.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side of it where the moment playoffs start, they're just going to flip that switch on and everything is okay. Where do you stand on that?
I mean, there's a part of me that's like, I saw everything I needed to see the first game of the restart when they beat the Clippers. Like, those two teams were both playing hard. They both wanted to win it. Nobody was sitting people. The Clippers were obviously missing a few key players, which we have to point out. But I think after the Lakers clinched that one seed, there was just not a lot of motivation for them to really push their guys. And you just need to get enough run in. What I've seen, and I thought the two big things that you saw yesterday, going into that game yesterday, the Lakers were 22nd out of 22 teams in the bubble in 3-point shooting. They were terrible. Couldn't find the bottom of the ocean. And then they end up hitting 14-29. Like, they found their shooting stroke. You get a little confidence going from outside, and that changes everything for them. And then I also think Anthony Davis, when he went against Indiana, he just was out on the perimeter. He was sort of lost. He couldn't get involved. He went right back down to his strength, which is play inside, make them dominate inside, get the most of your points in there. I think he went back to playing the way the Lakers need him to play, and not just kind of drifting out there on the perimeter. And then Kyle Kuzma getting going, where he's establishing himself as the third best player on the team instead of us having endless debates over whether or not he can live up to that role.
Well, that's what I loved. And John, you know, how many times do people say this? Well, when AD is out and Kuzma's in, this is how he does. Or if Kuzma gets the start and one of those two players got Mike, well, that's kind of irrelevant, because when you get in the postseason, there's a good chance all three of those players are going to be on the court at the same time. So, John, that was great to see. All of a sudden, you saw Kuzma put up 20-plus in a game where not that it mattered that it came down to the end, but it was also great to see Coach say, let's draw one up for Kuz and see how he would do in a situation like this. It's not going to be a game changer, but it's a good moment for Kuz going into the postseason.
And the other thing we talked about earlier on this show, Alan, is that Kuzma's in the Lamar Odom role now. You know, Lamar Odom was very offended when Phil Jackson came to him and said, I'm going to bring you in off the bench. And Lamar Odom said, I'm a starter on every other team in the league. And Phil said, but on this team, you can help us more as the sixth man. And, you know, that's basically in that clip we just played from Frank Vogel. That's what Frank said. And that Kuz will be out there at the end of games, Alan, like he was last night. And that's what's important. And I think you guys make a good point with the fact that they found their three. Now they got to figure out what happened defensively in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't come up with stops, and those weren't Michael Porter Jr. and Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray out there. Those were the backups for the Nuggets. So, but that's what these games are for. That's why I'm not all that overly worried that the Lakers are going to be there when the bell rings, because you use these games as tune-ups. And I just think that if you have LeBron and AD, if that's your starting proposition, that you're going to be in any game and in any series. And I think you'll probably be the favorite.
Ramona, to go on what you said about Anthony Davis, and John, I'll play off what you just mentioned. AD, you know, you said that the game against Indiana just was out on the perimeter. AD's had moments in this seven-game stretch where he's, I don't know if disinterested is the right word, but like you said, there's nothing to play for. When he needed to play against the Clippers, he did. When he had a bad game against Toronto because they were double-teaming him, he came back against Rudy Gobert and the Jazz and had 42. So I think it kind of it goes along the theme that you mentioned. There are games he seems disinterested because he knows they don't matter. Now, it's one thing to just say that, but once the postseason starts, obviously you can't have any lapses like that because they'll depend so much on AD.
All right, let me get this in before we get out of here. Damian Lillard, by going for 61 tonight, becomes the first player in NBA history to have multiple games of 60 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Wow.
He's now done it twice. He also becomes the first Blazer and the 12th player ever with back-to-back 50-point games. And here's the list. Bradley Beal, James Harden, Devin Booker, Kobe Iverson, Antoine Jameson, strange. Michael Jordan, Bernard King, Rick Barry, Wilt Chamberlain, and Elgin Baylor. That's it. That's the list. Dame is on it tonight. It's 6:24, Sliwa.
And you are out the door.
We hit the door. Ramona back with me tomorrow. Sliwa, what do you got coming up tonight?
Lakers talk tonight. Anthony Slater covers the Lakers for The Athletic, and Joey Ramirez with the Lakers. So both of them coming up.
All right, that's coming up next. Ramona, talk to you manana.
All right, John.
710 ESPN.